You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hello, Patrick here. Thank you so much for joining me on this special episode. And Kristen and I talked about some wonderful lessons that she's learned in both the athletic field as well as through acting. But in this special episode, I wanted to bring on some people who know a little bit more about sporting events. And that is the hosts of Keep the Flame Alive podcast. Jill and Allison are just two wonderful hosts of that podcast. And they interview all kinds of people connected to the Olympics, both behind the scenes and training and all that kind of stuff, as well as the athletes themselves. So who better to bring on the podcast, right?
Hello, Patrick. It's Jill and Allison. We have so many questions about duathlon for Kristen.
So it is a full house on the podcast with myself, Jill, and Allison talking to Kristen Hetzel about the duathlon as well as her acting career.
So how do you approach a race? Because duathlon to me seems to have some interesting parallels to acting in that, you know, a show or a program or a play or musical has different acts, act one, act two, act three, or if you have a song, it's a verse, chorus, verse. And there's that parallel of that for run, bike, run. So how do you approach that? And how do you approach your acting in a similar vein?
That's a good question. I think, yes, there is the similarity in that there's just that focus that each piece has its own set of characteristics or thought processes, you know, that go behind it. And so it's just being focused and being really present in the moment. So when I'm in the pre-race, for example, or the beginning of the character development, it's like, that's where I'm at. I'm not thinking about what about the middle of the race or what about, you know, where am I going to take the character? You know, it's just being really present with where you're at. And then everything just falls into place because in each part, you're there. And so you're accomplishing what you're setting out to do through your focus.
So you've prepared for that initial part. Then once it's done, that preparation has then laid the groundwork for the second part and on like that.
That's right. And I don't go back and think about, you know, it's kind of the past is the past.
Right. Especially like that run really sucked. So then you get on the bike and you're doing better, but you're trying not to think about what happened in the run.
That's right. I think my stage racing in my professional cycling experience helped a lot with that because you get really good at, you know, maybe you have a race in the morning and maybe it didn't go that well. And then you have another race in the afternoon. And it was just, I got really good at like, okay, that's done. It actually doesn't even exist anymore. Hmm. I just have a race this afternoon, period. And that's kind of where I would be. And so I think it's the same application. Yeah, it's just that run, if it didn't go well, I'm on the bike. This is going to be the best 40K I can do, you know, and that's it. And I don't even think about the run after it because I know I'm trained enough and my body is ready enough that when I get there, my body knows what to do. So I'm just right here.
Yeah. I had asked you earlier how your athletic skills and training has helped you as an actor. Now I'm going to reverse that. And so how has being an actor model helped your athletics?
That's a good question as well. I think that it has helped me be more easy with myself, if that makes sense, not so hard on myself because acting is newer for me and there's a bit more rejection involved in acting. Yes. You know, I feel like in athletics, I can control more of it. I mean, yes, things may come up, but if I've trained, my equipment's right, I know how to eat and what to do and everything, I have a lot of control over that. Versus acting, modeling, you do the best you can do, you prepare, but as you know, there are factors that are out of your control. I mean, maybe right. Your height, maybe your hair color. I mean, there's just things that they're looking for sometimes that you maybe did a great job but it doesn't matter because that's not what they wanted. And so it's helped me become more loving with myself and more accepting that if a workout didn't go as well, if a portion of the duathlon wasn't what I thought I could do, like, it's okay. I still believe in myself. I'm still, it's good. You know, I don't beat myself up as much.
So run, bike, run. Why do you like that sport? Because I know it's kind of based off of triathlon, which is swim, bike, run. But to me, a run, bike, run would seem to be very tricky to motivate myself to run a second time. So, Kristen, why do you like that sport? And it's not an Olympic sport. How much does that matter to you that duathlon's not an Olympic sport?
For many years, there's been talk of they've been trying to get it in the Olympics. I don't know this for sure because you know how hearsay is, but I hear it's a little bit of there's some politics involved with it, perhaps in that. I'm certainly no expert on whether this is accurate, but I've heard that because the triathlon is in there. And the duathlon is sort of similar, that there hasn't been as much interest. I don't know if that's true. I do know they've been trying to get it in the Olympics. The duathlon and the triathlon were very close family members, and we definitely work well together and feed off each other, as opposed to having it be an adversary, like, oh.
Competition between the two, yeah.
Right, because the USA Triathlon is our governing body, and they do the triathlon and the duathlon, as well as some other multi-sport events like Aquabike and Aquathon. There's a lot of different multi-sport events in addition to triathlon and duathlon. But yeah, we definitely, we get along well, and we want both sports to succeed and be well-known and well-respected.
You're part of Team USA, which is pretty incredible. How do you maintain elite athlete performance and still go to auditions and do acting or modeling gigs? Because acting and modeling are very long days. So how do you fit in training?
The wonderful thing is with auditions, I just schedule my training around it. I think that the biggest skill with that is being flexible and being adaptable, because many times I had my day set perfectly. You know, it's bike ride this time, have a snack, run this time, see a patient this time, and then you have a 1 p.m. audition, and then it's like, okay, now I have to learn lines. I have to get there. I have to get all ready and everything. And so it works out well because both my athletics and the acting aren't a set 9 to 5. And so I can kind of plug things in and move stuff around accordingly.
I would assume your physical therapy is really the only unchangeable thing. When you're meeting a client, that's kind of the appointment is set.
Yes, but the wonderful thing is I started my own private practice. So my physical therapy practice is I go to people's houses and I do, I'm kind of like a boutique mobile clinic. For example, I have some clients that want to be seen at 6:30 a.m. And I know there's never going to be an audition at 6:30 a.m., you know? So,
yeah. Oh, thank goodness. Oh.
Right? Yeah. The casting doesn't want to get up that early either.
No, they don't.
No. So it works out really nicely that a lot of them, since I live in LA, are in the industry. So right. I've had times where an audition did pop up and I say, oh gosh, can I see you at 3 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock today? I got an audition, and they're like, no problem. So that's really helpful with how understanding they are too.
Yeah. Do you envision a time when you'll have to either give up sporting or your physical therapy or one of the other jobs in order to go for the other?
Huh. Not anytime soon. because I really have the goal. I really want to get the gold medal at the World Championships. So perhaps after that, then my priorities might shift a little bit. Also, you know, if say I did get a series regular on a TV show, then at that point, I would kind of assess what kind of time frame or time commitment that would require, and then maybe back off on some of my other endeavors for a bit. So right. I think a lot of it is I'm very flexible with how it's like I have these goals, but I'm also open to what life has in store for me. And I'm willing to just sort of go with the flow of what's trying to work itself out.
Okay. So here's a real classic Allison question. Do men on set ever challenge you to some dumbass physical contest? Like, I can do more pushups than you.
Yes. Yes. That's such a fun question. Yes, they do. But it's always from a very loving, fun place. You know, it's never that they're really like, oh, you know, I'm, I want to.
Right.
I wanna.
Right. It's like me, man, you, woman.
Exactly.
Yeah, you haven't had any of that. Yeah.
No. It's in a lot of times, and especially not on set, you know, people are very open and interested. And I think that as actors, we respect each other, our backgrounds and where we come from and what we're bringing to the character or to the set. And relative to athletics, you know, I actually train primarily with guys. So it's a lot of fun because what can happen is maybe I'll be on a bike ride and I come up on a guy and it's called getting chicked when a girl passes you.
Oh, okay.
And so you can see the like annoyance. He doesn't want to get chicked. So he'll kind of try to, and then I'm like, oh no, I really didn't want to race and do this. But what ends up happening inevitably is, you know, I usually get them, I beat them, right? And then they respect you for it. It's not like a, oh, you know, it's nothing negative. It's like, hey, you know, what's your deal? You're really fast or you're really strong. You know, do you race on a team? And so it usually ends up becoming some sort of mutual respect between us.
What's the strangest, I guess, challenge, you know, physical challenge that you've been given?
Oh, gosh. Well, maybe, I don't know if the strangest, but the most fun is I'm a climber in the cycling world. I love climbing hills. It's my specialty. Okay. It's my favorite thing to do. And so there's a big climb here in Los Angeles called Latigo Canyon. And so I've just had people be like, you know, let's go up Latigo and see what you got. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Cause that's my jam, you know? So that's always fun. I don't know that it's strange, but it's fun.
It's strange how fun that is for you, for us who aren't bikers like that. Yes.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it's a very steep climb. In fact, my boyfriend, when he's driven up it, he's like, this is insane. I can't believe you bike up this. And I love it. A lot of fun.
All right, Patrick, thanks so much for thinking of us. We really appreciate it.
Well, this has been an absolute joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for doing this. I learned about the duathlon because I didn't know that much about it. So I'm glad to learn a little bit more. But yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. This was a lot of fun and great questions. I appreciate your time. And yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, Jill and Allison, they had some good ones. So I'm glad I reached out to them. They had some fun questions.
Thank you.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?